Today's Shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem's Baruch on Daf Nun Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if the Hemsus of the Beis HaKaisis, that if the Hemsus of the Beis HaKaisis, which is two of the four stomachs of the animal, are punctured to the outside, it's considered a trefa. To which the Gemara begins, Tanur Rabbanan, Machat Shenimsus, Be'ovei Beis HaKaisis, if there was a needle found in the thickness of this of the Beis HaKaisis, it was found protruding to the from the wall, the double wall, which we always say all the organs in the animal have two layers, from the double layers into towards the inside. Bitzar echad, if it only comes from the inner wall, then for we assume that if it's only coming from the inner wall, so then it's kosher, because we assume that it only punctured the inside layer, not the outside layer. However, Mishnei Tzadim, if it goes through and through, so then it goes through both walls, both layers, then the halacha is that we have to assume that it's trefa. Furthermore, Rashi indicates that if it's protruding from only wall one wall, but it's protruding towards the inside, so then we have to assume that if it's not penetrating more than one layer here, but it has to travel somewhere to get here, and therefore since it traveled somehow to get here, it must have probably made a hole somewhere else in one of the organs of the animal. That's how Rashi learns. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't agree with that. Says the Gemara Mishnei Tzadim, but if it's from both walls, it's a trefa. Furthermore, says the Brisa Nimsa LeKortam, if there's a splat of blood on this needle where it is, then that loch is trefa. That's considered a trefa. Nimsa LeKortam, if there's a kortam on it, then we have to assume the Yidush LeFnei Shechita Lo Nimsa Yiduah Shelefnei Shechita. That's a proof that this blood was there before the Shechita. It already was penetrated before the Shechita, and therefore it's a trefa. Loi Nimsalai Kartam. But if there is no blood, Yiduah Shelach Shechita. Because if there would have been this hole there before the Shechita, there should be blood on the needle. The fact that there is no blood on the needle is very much. The fact that there is no blood on the needle is very much indication that there was no wound before the shechita took place. This hole only formed after the shechita was done. We have another machlokes rishonim here. What is the halacha that when we say that it's kosher, does it mean it's kosher without doing any further investigation, or is it necessary to do further investigation? From the Rambam, it sees that the Rambam's opinion is that if there's no dam, then we don't even have to do any further investigation. But all the Rishonim, the Rashbah, disagrees, and the Rashbah's opinion is that there is no dam, then but we can do investigation, then the halacha requires us to do a investigation. Furthermore, the Rashbah discusses a situation where there was a needle there, and before we could do an inspection, if the needle was going through one side, which we keep on learning in our shir, if it goes through one side, it's kosher, or was it going through both walls, and then it would be not kosher, what should we do now? Not a needle was lost. Says the Rashbah that since we had this question, and as we're learning that if it has a hole from both sides, it's a trefa, says the Rashbah, we have to be machmer, and we're not allowed to eat from that animal. The Rishonim also discuss where the Hemsus only had one layer. Der halacha is that Rashi says that we've been talking about the Beis HaKaisis. What's going to be by the Hemsus? Rashi seems to learn that by the Hemsus, even a hole in one side is a trefa. Tosfos says that we have to say it's treif, because we always have to be concerned, since it has such a weak skin, that maybe what happened here is that it fell, that it got, that it had a hole, and that hole afterwards closed up. But we know that a hole that closes up is not kosher. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh disagree, and their opinion is that if we don't see a hole on two sides, we don't have to be machmer. The Shach also points out that if the two holes, that means if both layers of the Beis HaKaisis have holes, then the halacha is that, but those two holes are not lined up with each other. If the two holes are not lined up with each other, we could be makel and say that it's kosher. The kurtam, with that the Gemara is saying, is a proof that it was a hole there while it was alive, says the blood has to be from outside of the Beis HaKaisis. That's the Ravid's opinion. From the Rambam's opinion, it seems that the Rambam's opinion is that even if the kurtam is on the inside, the halacha is that we have to be machmer. What happens if we wash the animal's stomach? And now we wash the animal's stomach, we can't tell if there was a kurtam or not. Because even if there was dam, it would have been washed away. The Rashba's opinion is that we have to be machmer. If we have no way of determining if there was a kurtam or not, we have to be machmer. But there are many paiskim that take the lenient approach, and the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Mem Ches, Sifka Ches, says that if it was already washed or they did melicha on this piece of meat, the halacha is that we have to be machmer. But the Ramah, that's the opinion of the Ramah, that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says that if there was no hole going through both sides, and now it's impossible to tell if there was a kurtam or not, we have room to be lenient. The Ramah furthermore says that since Bizman Azeh, we really have no way of doing this inspection properly. He says that if we have a hole, we always have to be machmer. However, the Bach says that there is no reason to have that chumrah, and the Bach says that if we don't see a hole penetrating two sides, even bizman hazeh, we have every right to be lenient, says the Gemara. But so here the Gemara taught us that if there was a kurtam, the halacha is that we could assume that the kurtam was there, that was there from before Shechita. The Braisa continues to teach us, not only can we tell if there was the hole before Shechita, we could tell when it was. And that will have very significant nafkamina, because if the hole was already there before the Shechita took place, then we have a reason to say, then the person who purchased that animal has every right to say it was a mekakas. I wasn't intending to buy an animal that's a treifa, and it's a mekakas, and therefore you, the seller, have to return the money to me. And that's what the Gemara begins. Higla pi a makab, if there's a scab on the makab, so says the Gemara, if there's a scab on the hole, that is clearly an indication that that hole was there at least for 3 days. That hole and happened at least 3 days before the Shechita took place. And therefore, if this person bought the animal after that time, so then he could claim there was a mekachtos. But if it did not form a scab, so since it did not form a scab, not halachas hamoitz mechaver olavaraya, if he wants to claim that you sold me an animal that's a treifa, he's going to have to be able to definitively prove that that happened. And if he can't definitively prove that it was that what happened, then he can't request his money back. there's a lot of discussion around this halacha. First question that the Rishonim debate is what we're saying, that if we know there was a treifa, there was a treifa before, the animal was already a treifa before I bought it. As we discussed so extensively in our shiurim, there are different categories. What is meant with that? Is it meant that only if it's a treifa because the halacha clearly tells us that it's a treifa? What would be the halacha if it's a treifa because the minig, the custom is that people won't eat this animal? But it's not that we're definitive that we could for sure say it's a treifa. What would the halacha say in those places? The Ramban says once the minig is that we don't eat that animal, that type of an animal, whether it's because it's a definitive halacha or whether it's because it's a minig, it doesn't change the halacha, and the buyer could claim mekach. The buyer could claim mekach tos. The other question is, what happens if the person who bought the animal for working with the animal? When is there an issue if the animal being a treif for making a difference? Is if I bought the animal for eating, and obviously an animal that's meant to be eaten, if it's a treifa, may not be eaten. But if the seller could say, well, you bought the animal for purpose of working with it, then it doesn't make a difference. It's a tzircha. And the paiskim say that even if you bought it for whatever purpose, the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference if you bought it for shechita or to eat it or to work with it. If it's a treif, it's a treifa. But then the Rishonim and Achronim have another question. Here we're saying that if you see that it has a scab, so it's a proof that the scab was there before the animal was slaughtered, to some degree, even before the animal was sold. And therefore, the buyer could claim mekach tos. What would be the halacha as far as kashrus is concerned? What happens? We know that milk, cheese that come from an animal that's treifa, of course we may not eat. So cheese was made from this cow. And now the question is, may you eat from that cheese, or do you have to assume that the cow, since we're assuming that the cow was a treifa, the cheese would not be kosher? There's a machloikus achroinim. Some achroinim say if we're able to say that it's a mekach tos and you're not entitled to, you're entitled to get your money back, then the cheese will also be non-kosher. Some want to differentiate. The Rambam says on this halacha, mikana talomid, shemoicher shayimum b'memkaroi, that if the seller sold something that is defective, and then the buyer did something to make it even worse, which is exactly the case of our Gemara, because the seller should be able to say to the buyer, okay, you are able to prove that this animal is a treifa and it's a mekach tos, but you shouldn't have slaughtered the animal. Now my animal is useless, says the Rambam. If the buyer did something with the animal, which is commonly done, shechting the treifa, the halacha is potter. So now the Shef Shemaitza asks, here we're following the fact that it has this simen that it's a treifa, that's why the buyer could say it was a mekach tos. But as the Shef Shematza, this is all built on a chazaka. This is all built on assumptions that we make when we talk about halacha. What I mean to say is, the assumptions are that if it has a scab, the scab was there at least 3 days ago, etc. But there's a rule throughout Shas, based on a Gemara Masech Baba Basra, as the Shef Shematza, that ain't hoch m'mam anach arayv, or ain't hoch m'mam anach chazaka. We don't follow Roiv or Chazaka when it comes to Dinim Mominus. So why over here are we ready to take this lenient approach? Says the Shef Shematza, that although indeed there is halacha that ain't holchem a momen ach Roiv or Chazaka, that's when it's not 100% definitive. But as the Gemara is explaining here, it's so definitive that this scab proves that there was a makkah, then the halacha says that that's not considered holchem b'mamon acharoyv. It's considered a case where the buyer could say moitzim chaveroy olivarai that he had a mekach, that there was a mekach tos. The Rosh, based on this Gemara, says if somebody buys eggs or closed packages of cheese, and when he opens the egg or cheese, he discovers that they are spoiled, the buyer is entitled to a refund, even though the seller was not aware of the spoilage. As of course, we have to be able to prove that they were spoiled at the time of the sale. Says the Rosh, that even if the person who you bought it from did not produce the cheese or eggs himself, but rather purchased them from a farmer or wholesaler, still the seller has to refund the consumer. And even though the seller is claiming that he was cheated, he should go back to whom he bought it from. But I bought it from you, and you sold me something that was spoiled, and I have a right to say, mekech tos. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, that let's say somebody bought an esrig from somebody who sells a sroigim in sealed boxes, and he sells them without opening the boxes. A buyer is entitled to a refund from the seller if his esrig is pasul, even though the person who sold him this esrig could not have possibly known of the defect, because it was always in a closed box. Says the Rebbeinu Ephraim that there's a difference between an animal that has an uncommon treif effect, like we're learning here, that a stomach that has a hole, versus a common defect such as a sircha. And he explains that a buyer is expected to anticipate that when he's going to shecht the animal, that he's going to find a sircha. And therefore, he can't just demand a refund if it has a sircha. And the Rebbeinu Ephraim says, if the buyer wants to protect himself from such a situation, he has to stipulate at the time of the sale that if the sircha is discovered, he has a right to claim mekach tos. However, if no such stipulation was made, the buyer is going to have to take a loss. Moreover, says Rebbeinu Ephraim, a seller who wants to protect himself from liability from a punch that when the animal is found with a punctured stomach, could stipulate at the time of the sale that the sale is effective even if the animal is found to have a punctured stomach. The Rambam says that such a stipulation is binding only with the defects that were enumerated. But let's say the seller makes a general stipulation protecting himself from liability for all defects. The Rambam holds that stipulation is not binding and it doesn't exempt the seller from his responsibility to offer a refund. The Paiskim say that when we have this kind of shaila, and we had this concept many times, is that we follow the Minig HaMedina, which overrides what the Gemara says. Says the Beis Yosef, that for example, that if in his local area, he said, the minig was that if somebody bought a package of eggs and he found spoiled eggs, the seller is never obligated to give a refund. So says the Beis Yosef, they even go according to the Gemara here, that if the eggs were spoiled and they were clearly spoiled before I bought them, that halacha ought to be the seller is responsible. Somebody, Bizman Azeh, when he buys eggs, there's an understanding that if you'll, and at least where the Beis Yosef lived, that you will not, that the seller will not be held responsible. And since that's the law, that the seller will not be responsible, therefore, even though I, the buyer, could definitively prove that it had this defect before I bought it, I could not make a demand for a refund. Says the Gemara, Umay Shna, why are we treating this hole that we've been speaking about in our shear, the hole in the base of Kaisis, only if there's blood in it from other places that we've learned so many times in our shiurim that we don't look at the blood to make a determination that if it's treif enough. Dafgav delekadam, even though in the various other cases we've been learning in our shurim, tarif mar, we've always learned that if there's a hole, the animal is treif. Why over here do we take this approach? Answers the Gemara, Hasam lekamida lemisrach. And all other type of punctures, there's nowhere where the blood could stick. Therefore, the fact that there's no blood doesn't indicate anything that the puncture was there before or after Shechita. However, Hacha, in the case that we've been discussing in our shiur today, kim de kamachat, since there's a needle in the stomach, the kodem Shechita, who, if we're going to say that that hole was there ready from before the Shechita, misrach havasarach, there ought to be blood on the needle. And the fact that there's no blood on the needle is an indication that it was only formed after the Shechita. Amalei Rav Safra Labaya. Says the Gemara, Rav Safra said to Labaya, Chazimar, I want you to see Hait Suvim Rabbanan, that there's a certain Talmud Chacham, Dasim Marava, and he came from Marava, Vamar Rabaviri Shemani, and he said, my name is Aravira. Amar, he said, Masa Bolifnei Rebbe, he said there was an episode that came in front of Rebbe where we had a machat shenimsa ba'ivir be'sakesev b'tzarechot, where there was a needle found on one side of the layer of the be'sakesev for terfa, and he made it treifa, which is very much different than what we've been learning in our shir today. So says the Gemara Sholchalei, so Abaya sent to Avira that he should come and tell him this testimony that he experienced. It says Leos Lagabei, he didn't come. Azal Hu Lagabei, so Abaya didn't stand on honor, and he went to visit him. Havikaoya Igra, and he found this person standing on top of the roof. Omanaychas Mavanechsi, he said, please come down. I want to hear what you're testifying. And still, Layut Nachas Rabavira did not come down. So again, Abaya, Solakul Lagabei, Abaya goes up to the roof. And he says to him, Gufa de Uvda Hechavi, exactly what was the story that you're reporting that Rebbe said that the animal was treif? Amalei, to which he said, Mafta Kenesias Ani, I was in charge of the yeshiva. Rebbe had a yeshiva, and I was in charge of the yeshiva, the Talmidim, that came to Rebbeinu HaKadosh Rebbe Yehuda's yeshiva. And now, explains the Maral Bach, why we could understand how somebody as important as Abaya kept on summoning him to come and refused to come because he was obligated to take care of Rebbe's yeshiva. So, Leilam Rebbe Rabba, and he says that I had a question by Rebbe, my Rebbe, the Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Vavrav Huna Tzipurav Rabbi Yosef Mido Yosef Lefanov, these two great Talmid Chachamim were sitting there. And a question came to Rebbe regarding a machat shenimtza b'yisabes akosav b'tzarechad, where they found this needle. V'afcha Rebbe, and Rebbe turned over this b'yis akosav to examine it, and what he found was umatzala kurtam, and he found blood on the needle v'tarfa. V'ama, because he said im ein shamaka, if there was no problem, kurtam inayin, why would there be this blood here? Amalei, to which Abaya said to Avira, Taruch Taruch Lau Gavra, you made me come to you for such a halacha, Masnisen he. Isn't this what we learned in the Brice, in the Mishnah, that Hemsa Beis HaKaisis, that the Hemsa Beis HaKaisis that have a whole chutz, and as we're learning in our Shia today, if there's a court dam on them, the halacha is that we have to consider a treif. And the Miri says that we learn from this story that a person that when it comes to learn something, even one should not start taking the approach, is this the person whom I should be learning from? Rather, we learn from this Gemara that no matter what the situation is, if there's a question of learning Torah, you should do that whatever is required. Even though, but Abaya's comment was, there really wasn't anything new learned here It's what we've been learning throughout our shir. Even though I did see that the Rashba points out that there was really something new learned here. What was learned here was that you turn it inside out to inspect for blood. That was not considered a really big chiddush. Here we see a very interesting discussion. The question is, if somebody is not is a Rav, but he comes to a place where he's not known, is he allowed to pronounce himself as a Rav, or is it inappropriate? And our Gemara is showing us that a person like Rav Avira, who wasn't known, was allowed to present himself as a Rav, even in a place where he wasn't necessarily known. If it's being done for a constructive purpose, the halacha is there is room for leniency. The next one of the treifas that we're going to be discussing is the treifa of a nefula. A nefula is an animal that fell from a high place, and we have to be concerned that because it fell, something might have happened to it that would cause a concussion in the animal. Normally, the halacha is that if the animal survives for 24 hours, then it's a proof that it was fine. The first question that the Rishonim discuss is when we speak about it falling from a height, what is the definition of a height? And the typical definition of a height is 10 tefachim. But the question is, when we think about 10 tefachim, what is the consideration? Is it just the height from where it fell? Or do we also put into consideration the area from below the stomach of the animal to the floor, which is typically 4 tefachim? That is that also considered to be combined to the 10 tefachim? Which is an interesting question, because we know that the Gemara often discusses in Masechta Baba Kama where animal fell into a bar. When animal fell into a pit, and the pit has to be 10 tefachim. And the question that the Rishonim already discussed, Achronim discussed, there we measure a full 10 tefachim. Here, we're not measuring a full 10 tefachim, we're measuring 6 plus 4. Why is it different? The Yamsha Shlomo says that we can't compare the halacha of bar to the halacha of treifas, because by bar, the situation is that the animal will not die unless the pit is 10 tefachim deep. Here we're not talking about death. Here we're talking about depth to make the animal a treifa. And therefore, the focus is not as much on the depth. The focus is really on the falling that it fell. And therefore, since that's the issue, and there are proofs to this concept from our Gemara, because we're going to have cases in our Gemara where the animal didn't fall altogether, but it's still considered that it's not that it's a treifa because the animals had an altercation, etc. Says the Gemara, "Hahu gadya dehavale l'ravina." There was a goat. Says the Gemara, "Nafal menagag." We learned in the Mishnah Nafal menagag, on which the Gemara comments, "Amar Rav Huna, hanich behem lamala." If somebody left an animal on top of the roof, or ba matz lamata, and he finds the animal on the ground, ein chashim mishum suke evarim. We need not be concerned that there was a concussion. Why? So the way Mefarshim explained, because we could assume that this animal, when it jumped, knew what it's doing, and it would not have jumped if it didn't think that it would get hurt. And indeed, says the Gemara, "Hahu gadya," says the Gemara, "Tavale l'Ravina." Ravina had this goat, "Tavachushli b'puma," that was standing on the roof by a skylight, "Dagu nafami la'ara," and he went through the skylight to get to the barley that was on the floor below. "Asal kamed Ravashi," and now this animal was brought to Ravashi with a shayla. What is the status of the animal? "Amalei hadam Rav Huna niach b'em lamala." If you left the animal on top, a ball matz lamata, and you found it on the ground, aim chashim mishum risuke verum, you don't have to be worried about this concussion. Mishum, now the question is, mishum dosle midl misra, do we take the lenient approach because it had what to grab onto, and that is what made the fall not be so serious? But in this case, where it fell through the skylight, the high lesle midl misra, it had nothing to grab onto. Dilma, maybe the reason is, the animal would not have jumped unless it was confident that nothing's going to happen to it. It's going to be able to do this jump. And therefore, the animal made this decision. And if the animal made the decision, it knew what it was doing. He said, the halacha is based on the animal knowing what it's doing. That the animal knew what it's doing. And it's incredible, the Sfas-Emma says, that there's a difference between an animal and a human being. The Sfas-Emma says, we're learning in our Gemara that an animal can know what it can do and know what it can't do. But a human being, we're not so quick to make that determination that the person knows what he's doing or not. In some ways, an animal has more intellect than a human being. Says the Gemara, Hahi Imrasov, there was a goat, Dava Bei Rav Chanina, there was in the home of Rav Chanina, Dava Shadrin Kaira Besraisa. What happened here with this animal was that its hind legs, the back legs, were schlepping, were dragging. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, so now the question is, the fact that this is show that it has this issue with its back legs, is that an indication that there's something wrong with this animal? Amar Rav Yirmiyah, which Rav Yirmiyah said, Hay Shiguna Niktita. It has a cramp, and therefore we're not going to declare it as a trefa. Maskla Ravina, but says Ravina, why are we so quick to be lenient? Maybe the fact that it's dragging its legs should be an indication that its spinal cord is disconnected. And says the Gemara, Bitkua, and they did examine this animal after they did the shechita, Ashkichu Kravina, and they found that Ravina was correct, that it did have a severed spinal cord. But says the Gemara, Vafila Hocha, even though this is a clear indication that we should be concerned, says the Gemara, Vafila Hocha Lachs Kravina, the Lachs Rav Yemra, because we say Shegruna Shechiach, that it should have a cramp is common, Chuta Shredra, that it should have a torn Chuta Shegra is not common. When we find an animal jumped, says the Rashba, the halacha tells us that we could assume that if the animal jumped, it jumped because it knew that it can make it. The Ran says that if the animal jumped and we see that it's not able to walk, then the halacha is that we could still be lenient because the Gemara says we could rely on the animal's judgment. So says the Gemara further. V'amar Amar Afchuna Zecharam Nachum Zeh. If two male rams are fighting with each other, Ein Chashim Shem Risuke Varam, we don't have to be concerned about Risuke Varam. And says the Gemara that Afal Gav. The midvei v'kaimi, even though after we see that they had this altercation, they're in pain, simra ba'almahu d'nakalei. We have to assume that it's just something passing. However, enough la'ara, if one of the animals pushed the other animal to the ground, v'adechashinim. There's a machlokes rishonim that says, that discusses, what's going to be the halacha if the, as we said earlier, the right thing to do is to wait 24 hours and see the status of the animal. The Rambam's opinion is that if you didn't wait the 24 hours, then you're going to have to consider the animal a trefa. There are other the shrinim that disagree. Where do we have to be machma, they say, on the 24 hours? We have to be machma on the 24 hours by nefula. which is the case that we've been learning in our, from our Mishnah. That the Mishnah teaches us that whenever the animal falls down, there's a locha that you have to wait 24 hours before you shecht it, and it's not open that if you didn't wait the 24 hours, that an animal can be considered kosher. But in a case where it's not on the fula, like this case, where the animals got into this altercation, here the poskim are more lenient, and they say that if the animal was didn't wait 24 hours, there may be reason, there may be opportunity to be lenient. Amar Vashi continues the Gemara, Hani Tichri Degan V'Ganavi. Says the Gemara, we had a situation where these rams were stolen. And what happened was that the Ganovim went into the place where these rams were found, and they threw them over the fence. Says the Gemara, we don't have to be concerned about the concussion. My Tama, what's the reason we could be lenient? Because Kishadalu, Amasnai Shadalu. The people who are stealing these animals want them to be healthy. So that's why they're careful to throw them, that they should land on their feet or on the bottom, not on the back. And the reason they do this is because they want the animals to be able to run with them away from the owner's house. Hadrinu, but if the Ganovim return these animals, so now, says the Gemara Vada Cheshinen, we have to be concerned that they just threw them over the wall without paying attention if they're fine or not. Says the Gemara, that's only the Hadrinim Makom Seira. If the Ganovim were concerned they're going to get caught, so they just quickly throw them back. But let's say they're throwing them back, Avu Machmas Tshuva, if they threw them back because they just want to do Tshuva and return what they stole. So when somebody does Tshuva, he does Tshuva properly. Tshuva Ma'ayisu Da'avdi. So I saw that the Rajba points out that if they were thrown back and we did not, only when we see that the animals are in pain, do we have to start being concerned, how were they thrown back? But if we see that the animals are fine, there's no reason to be concerned. Says the Gemara further, Amar Yehuda Marav, Hika al Roisha, if somebody struck the animal on its head, V'ochaloi klape zonva, and he struck the animal on its head with a stick that went towards the tail, or vice versa. Asanva, he was standing by the tail, Vikala Klaparosha, and he hit the animal with a stick on its head. Kenega Kal Sugar Kula, or if he hit with a stick that hit the entire length of the spine, Enchashim Shum Risuka Verm, we don't have to be concerned with Risuka Verm. However, Visholam Chutra, if the stick hit a palg of the baga right in the middle of the back of the animal, then cheshinan. Furthermore, vi ispre kitre, if the stick has like knobs on it, so therefore that is more painful of a blunt, and therefore we have to be choshish. Vi machve afaske, if he hit the animal across the width of the back, not along the length, again cheshinan. Says the Gemara, Amar, so in all these cases, we have to be concerned that there's no risk of avarim. And the Ram points out, the only time we have to be concerned about risk of avarim is if we see that the animal's in pain, similar to what we just said. But if the animal seems to be functioning well, even though it was hit by this person, we need not be concerned. Says the Gemara. So now the Gemara begins a discussion, what type of situation could be a risik avarim. So Gemara speaks about childbirth, and the Gemara begins a discussion, can childbirth be considered a situation of risik avarim? Says the Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Beis Arechem, the fact that the child went out of the womb of its mother, Ein by Mishum, risik avarim. There's no risk of arm. So I saw two pshatim in this Gemara. One pshat is that the experience of going out of the mother's womb is not necessarily considered an experience of risk of arm. Another pshat is the Gemara is referring to a case where the baby that was born fell onto the ground, and the question is, would that be considered risk of arm? To which says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman, Tanya dem seilach. I'll prove that you're right, because the Braisa says Tinik ben Yom Echad b'tama b'ziva. We know that there's different types of emissions that come out of a person's body, and a person that has ziva, which is similar to shekva zera, to sima, but not exact. The halacha is that when it had one such emission, he's like a balkeri, that you go to the mikveh and at night you're fine. Turi is that you have to have Zayin the Kiyin. Three Rias, then you have to bring your carbon as well with Zayin the Kiyin. But there's a very important halacha that the Gemara often discusses when it talks about a Zov, and that is that if it's a Zov, if the animal is a Zov, because of an outside experience that happened here, not because something that is just a natural occurrence, that it's not a Zov. So the Gemara teaches us that the halacha is that if an animal is born as a Zov, if a baby is born as a Zov, then he's considered a Zov. But says the Gemara, V'isal kadatach, yesh b'mishrim esukei varim, but if we're going to learn that there's risik avarim taking place in childbirth, so then, as we just said, ikrikan, this should be a situation where the ziva is not coming because it's a natural occurrence, but rather the ziva is coming because of an outside source, and therefore so that baby should never be a zav. So if that's the case, why is it possible to be a zav from childbirth? And so the Gemara, Hachav my skin, and we're speaking about a situation, Kigon Shiyotza Derech Doifin. It went out through cesarean section. Our discussion, if the birth creates Risik Avarim, is only if the child was born naturally. But through cesarean, it's certainly not. Tashma. So the Gemara tries a different raya. The Gemara speaks about Egel Shinoel B'Yontif. At the beginning of Yontif, this calf wasn't here. It was in its mother's womb. The halacha is that shachtanayis b'yontif, it's not considered muksa. We've discussed many times in our shiurim the halachas of muksa. And the halachas of muksa tells that anything that wasn't usable b'ein hashmashis becomes muksa. Here, it was usable because if you would have shechted the mother, the shechita on the mother who was here would work on the child. Now, the halacha, however, even though it's not muksar, the halacha should be that we shouldn't be allowed to shecht it on yontif, since it was just born and experienced risik avarim, and we're learning throughout our shiur, whatever experiences risik avarim, you have to wait 24 hours. So how could the Mishnah in Masechet Beyah tell us that we could shecht this baby? And says the Gemara, Hachinami, here too we're speaking about a case, shiyotza derech doifin, it was born through cesarean, where there's no concern of risik avarim. Says the Gemara, Toshma. The Mishnah Masechet Beyah speaks about a Bechor. The Bechor, we know the halacha of Bechor is that a Bechor is born, so Bezman is that we can't bring it as a carbon, but it could be, we have to wait till it becomes about, it has to become about mum. So over there, the question is a muksa? On one hand, there's an argument to be made that it's muksa because it's a bechor, and I have to wait for it to become a bal mum. Another opinion holds that it's not muksa because we're anticipating that it's going to become a bal mum. But it says the Gemara, v'shavin, everybody agrees, shemnoilad hu umuma imai, if it was born with bal mum, shazam and a muchan, there's no muksa discussion. So, obviously, the fact that's a proof that there is no concern of risik avarim. So says the Gemara, v'chitem achanami, and if you'll suggest here too that the case is tziyotza derech doifin, it was born through cesarean, says the Gemara, if it was born through cesarean, yotza derech doifin mikadosh, it was born through cesarean, there would be no discussion, says the Gemara, that it's a bechor. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, because we have a machloikis, if a child was born cesarean, is the mother have the lachas of yoledus or not? But even Rav Shimon, who says that a child born that way does not have the din of a Yeledis, but Maidir of Shimelin Yekotchim Shein HaKadosh, that it would not be considered a Bechor. So it obviously was not a question of recent, obviously, it did not have a cesarean section birth, which we learned was the teretz in the previous questions. Answers the Gemara, Hach of my skin, in that case, is speaking about Shifra Sagabakarka, that the animal was born and with its leg on the ground. The fact that the animal was born with its legs on the ground is very much an indication that it's a healthy animal and there's no concern of a risik of harm. V'amar of Nachman, Beisimet Ba'chayim, if they throw the animal down in the slaughterhouse, Ein b'shum risik avarim, says the Gemara, there's no concern of risik avarim. Says the Gemara, Hahu Toira, there was an axe in the slaughterhouse, and it was thrown down, and they were able to hear how it was sighing out of pain. Or Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel ben Masa, and Rabbi Yitzchak Shmuel ben Masa went to the place where that animal was sold, and shokli meshufri shufri, and he took from the best meat. Amalei, and Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yitzchak Menolacha, from where do you take this halacha? Amalei hacham Rav. So he said, this is the way we learn from Rav. It's a part of noise achmegiv la'aretz. He digs his nails into the ground, and that prevents it from suffering from the fall. And I saw that the Beis Yosef asks that we learned early in our shir that when animals are fighting with each other, we are concerned. Why over here or not? So he explains, over here the animal is seeing what's happening. And since the animal sees what's happening, it prevents itself by putting its nails into the ground. Whereas when the animals are fighting, each animal is convinced that it will prevail. And since each animal is convinced that it will prevail, it doesn't do anything to control the fall. Arayuda Amarav. Omda, if the animal after it fell down stands up by itself, ain't it tzricha meisleis, then the loch that we've been learning throughout the shir, that you need to wait 24 hours, we need not be concerned. However, bedikah v'adipayi, we do have to examine, says the Gemara, if the spinal cord was affected. The halacha, if the animal ever walked, that ain't tzricha bedikah, there's no need to do even a bedikah. Rechiver ashama achas zu v'achazel, whether it walked or not, under all situations, it requires a bedikah. There's a machlokes rishonim. If there was 24 hours, it survived 24 hours, and it also got up. Rabbi Yerucham says that in those circumstances, bedikah would not be required. The Kalbai says bedikah would be required. I'm Rabbi Yibra Barach Amarav. Poshto Yad Olamed. It just tried to get up. Abishloi Amda. Even though it didn't actually get up, it tried to walk, even though it didn't actually walk, in all these cases, then it's good enough. Rav Chisda Amar, Niner Olamed, it started getting up, even if it didn't stretch out its feet in any way, the halacha will be that in these cases, there will not be a requirement in the bedikah. And the Drisha makes an interesting point. We learned earlier in the Masechta and Daf Lamed Ches quite extensively that by Musukenes, to prove that the animal has proper vitality, the Gemara says it had to do stretching out of the hand. So here it seems that we have different rules in this case than in that case. So some explain, by Musukenes, there we have to be much more concerned because we see the animal's about to expire. Here, where we don't have that concern, we can be more lenient. The foolish Amra, when we're speaking about Nefula, Tzrich Bedeka, where it has to be examined, where does that Bedeka have to be? Kenegim Ma'ayin, to make sure that the stomach is intact. The entire internal organs of the animal require bedika. Simonim, the karna and the veshut mai, what would be the halacha about them requiring bedika? Amalei, to which Rav Ashi said, simonim kashen ha'etz on the fila. The simonim are strong when the animal is thrown down, and therefore there's no reason to have to examine them. Amalei Yudam Shmuel, oif shenechvar al pinei amayim, of a bird was thrown on the water. Kivin sheshat malei kamasai, once we see it could swim, then we die, it's enough, and it's good enough to believe that this animal is healthy. This bird is healthy. To which the Gemara says, Loyamaran el mamata mamala, only if it's swimming against the current. Ava mamala mata, if it's swimming with the current, so then we have to be concerned, mayahu dishpil, it's just the water that's moving it, it's not its own strength. However, for mayakame, if the water is standing water, there's no current, less lumbar, there's nothing to be concerned, and we see it could swim, it's a proof that it's healthy. Furthermore, says the Gemara, ishari tzivi, if there are pieces of wood in the water, and it could swim faster than those pieces of wood are floating, the kadme, hakadme, the fact that it could surpass those pieces of wood, again, is very much an indication that that animal is a healthy animal and no further bedika is required.